So if you'll find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is Bible Conference. The title of it is A Heart's Cry for Christian Charity. And the text verses that I have been assigned are the last three verses of the chapter, verses 11 through 13. And these are the final three verses of this wonderful chapter in the Bible. And they are a summation of this great chapter. And if we could sum up the entire chapter in just a few words, I think we could agree that the Lord is saying, I don't want to hear you talk about love. I don't want to hear you say, I love the brethren, or I love the Lord, or I love the Bible. As it's already been said, I want to see it practiced in your life. And so we see here, I'll read these verses. We'll pray together, ask the Lord to help us this evening. The Bible says in verse number 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity to be in Pilgrim Baptist Church in Cookeville, Tennessee. What a blessing. I thank you, Lord, for the many sermons that we've already heard that's been a blessing. Thank you for the good singing that we've heard. It's been a blessing to our heart. And, Lord, I pray you'd help us now for just a few minutes to be a help and a blessing to this congregation of believers. And, Lord, I certainly will need your help to do that. I pray you give us liberty to preach, give us understanding of the scriptures, help us, Lord, to speak plainly and say the things that are pleasing to you. And the Lord, we sure thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, verse number 11, we'll start there. First, I want to say this. I'll want to read the verse. Paul said in verse number 13 or verse number 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Here's a good trivia question for you. Don't have a lot to do with my sermon tonight. But this is, as far as I can understand, this is the only reference in Scripture that Paul makes concerning his childhood. And he doesn't really tell us a lot about it. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, the brother preached early, Brother Andy, and verse number 8, look back there if you will, brother, you were right. Those verses are so intertwined. I can understand the difficulty in not getting into mine. That's the great thing about going last, all free game. Now I can use all of them if I need to, brother. But anyway, back to verse number 8, it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, they shall vanish away. Now, putting that with my verse number 11, the speech, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And so the speech corresponds with the tongue that mentioned so often in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. We'll mention something about that in just a little bit. And then also in verse number 8, it says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And in our verse, in verse number 11, our understanding corresponds with the prophecy. And then back in verse number 8 again, we see the, whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That has to do with a thought corresponding with knowledge. And so what we see here in verse number 11, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. Now, I think it's quite possible that the Apostle Paul could be referring to or talking about the spiritual babes at Corinth. We know all the problems that they had, all the spiritual problems that they were dealing with. Chapter number 3, he made mention of the fact that they were still on meat, milk, and they could not handle the strong meat. We know all of those things in the passage. But he's talking about how a child, in verse number 11, how a child acts or how a child's behavior is. Now, we certainly understand how that a child speaks. We know how children act. We know how that children thinks. And most of the time, or the majority of time, child or children, they always think about themselves 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's all about me. It's like that from an infant. It's like that from a babe. It's all about me. It's me. It's me. It's me. And so we see that kind of thing here in the scripture, the child's attitude or the thought process is the whole world needs to wait on me. The whole world needs to serve me. The whole world needs to take care of me. The whole world needs to look after me. The whole world needs to make sure that I'm okay and everything's doing all right. Unfortunately, that's the same way with believers who are babes in Christ and who have not grown up unto charity. And so we see that in Scripture now. So what Paul also is saying here, these verses of Scripture, that one day, by the grace of God, I grew up, amen. Ain't that a blessing? I put away some childish things. And so Paul has the attitude now that you and I should have is, I don't want to always have my way. I don't want things to always go my way. I want to live my life unlike a child. I want to live my life in such a way that is a benefit and a blessing to others. What a blessing that is. I'll tell you, the day that you and I learn that great truth, it'll be good for us as well. Amen. And so what the Lord wants us to understand and then accomplish in our lives is that it's all about Jesus. It's not all about me, and it's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. And so may the Lord help us to get that in our heads. It's not all about the pastor that preaches. It's not about all about the Sunday school teacher that teaches. It's not all about the singer that sings. It's not all about the Christian worker who witnesses. It's all about Jesus, amen. And anything that we can accomplish, anything that we can do, anything that the Lord uses us to be a part of, or works through us to be a blessing to someone else, it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's still all about Him, amen. We can't do anything without Him. So any good thing that they are, any good thing that we are, it's all because of Him. Now, I believe that part, that's part of what Paul meant when he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. So it simply ceased to be about Him, and it was about the body as a whole. So the man who is so stuck on himself that he can't attend church, he can't fellowship with other believers, he can't get along with other believers, he can't function in a local body or in a local unit. They want to be this individual group if they can, or this individual preacher or individual ministry. They don't have interaction or no responsibility. Well, that's not what charity is about. Charity is about all working together to be one body and one unit and one church doing something that brings honor and glory to God and not to the individual members of that body. We had a man in our church years ago, and he got saved. He was a young man, just gotten married, and he didn't even have any children. In fact, he got saved right before he got married. His wife got saved, and they were in our church, and they were doing really well, just a great young couple. They were studying the Bible. We were teaching them. We were learning together, discipling them. They were growing. They were witnessing. They were excited about God. And he got to the point that after a while, for some reason, I don't know exactly what happened, but he got super spiritual. And what I mean by that is he began to question everything, and it's okay to question things, but it got to where nothing was good enough for him, and it couldn't be this way, it ought to be this way, it shouldn't be done that way, it ought to be done this way. Well, needless to say, he wound up leaving our church because we were not conforming to meet his ways. And so he went to a Mennonite church for a while, and that didn't work out because obviously there were doctrinal issues, and so he wound up at the famous church of the frozen living room. And it wasn't very long. It wasn't very long, you know, because you get so right and you get so spiritual that you know better than everybody else, and your way is right and everybody else's way is not. That's a complete lack of charity. Instead of using, if he was right and if he did have the knowledge and he did have the understanding, instead of using that to benefit those who are not at his level, to bring them up to that level, you run away from that so you can be your own thing. Where's the charity in that? Seen his wife a few years later. They were separated, divorced. She didn't want to talk about him at all whatsoever. Have no idea where he's at now. I haven't seen him in years. But listen, that's the way those things work. It's not about you. And it's not about me. It's about the whole. We're not children. I have grandbabies, man, they're the greatest thing in the world. And you know what they do? They fight over everything. You know what? They're kids. There could be one toy in the room and none of them care anything about it until another one of the kids come in. And then they all want the same toy. They just fight over everything. And we need to put away those childish things and that childish behavior and be that which is pleasing to God. Here, we're talking about charity in this passage. If charity has suffered long, then you have to suffer long to have some charity. And so if charity beareth all things, then you've got to have some people that are dumping stuff on you in order for you to learn how to bear things. Now, I don't like that any better than you do, but that's the truth of the matter. And if charity envieth not, then you're going to have to be around some people who are better than you in order for you to learn not to envy them.
Yeah.
How about that? And so we have got to get this charity down. It's killing us as a whole. I wrote this down like this. You can never become a charitable person on your own. Therefore, you cannot isolate yourself and please the Lord. You cannot get close to God by isolating yourself, and you cannot become charitable by isolating yourself from other believers. It takes other members of the body for you and I to learn how to be charitable and how to be pleasing to God. And oftentimes, listen, I promise we don't like this. I don't like this. Oftentimes that means putting up with people treating us poorly. I made this statement a few months ago. I know sometimes I think the Lord allows people. He doesn't institute it. He's not. God doesn't sin at all whatsoever. Please don't misunderstand me. But I think sometimes the Lord allows people to mistreat us, to teach us how prideful we are. And man, we got to get some charity about us, or we're just going to be a mess. Now, I want you to see three things here in verse number 11. Three things that Paul mentions or lists here in verse number 11 that identifies childish behavior. First of all, he said, I spake as a child. So if we're having trouble with our speech, if we're struggling or battling with gaining control of our tongue, that is evidence of our childish behavior. Now, I want to mention three things here under this, I spake as a child, as far as we're, and there's a lot more than that, but we don't have so much time to preach, so you're going to mention so many things. But I want to mention three things here about how we need to learn how to speak. First of all, we need to learn how to speak to the lost. We need to learn how to speak to the believer. And then we'll say some things about tongues here in this chapter. So the Bible says, come to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. We need to learn how to speak to the lost. Colossians chapter 4. And I'm sure a lot of these verses has already been looked at and covered probably. Colossians chapter 4, in verse number 5. The Bible says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Look at verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, I think it's important to learn the Bible. I think we ought to learn as much Bible as we can. I think we ought to know how to answer all the questions that we possibly can. Now I'm not suggesting that you do much street work or much public ministry, you're going to learn you can't answer a lot of the questions that people ask you. And part of that is part of the wickedness and evil against our witness anyway. I think people just come up with all kinds of things to try to throw you off. But you can know enough Bible how to tell a man how he can, that he's lost and how he knows he's lost and the need to be saved and who the Savior is and how to be saved. You ought to certainly have that kind of understanding of the Bible. But as it's already been said, it's already been repeated so many times, you can have all of that knowledge and you can have all of that understanding of the Scripture. But if you don't know how to deliver that with grace, to that man that's lost, I think Brother Nathan said that's compassion. This is compassion. We need to be able to have that knowledge, have that wisdom, but we also need to be able to present that in such a way that we, listen, let's see, a few weeks ago, I made the statement that being a jerk is not a sign of spirituality. Now, I know that's funny, but I didn't really mean to be. I know a lot of people who think they're super spiritual, and they're just a super jerk. There is nothing spiritual about that at all whatsoever. There's got to be some charity about you, amen. Even when you're talking to lost people, listen, you can't expect lost people to do anything. You can't expect them to have act any other way than the way a lost man acts. You have to have some grace to speak to them with some charity. That's with compassion. I've learned something this week. I got to get that straight now. So then we got to learn how to speak to the believer. Look at James chapter 4. We'll turn to one place. I'll read you several. But look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, look at verse number 11. Speak not evil one of another, ye heathen. No, that's not what it says. To speak not evil one to another, brethren. You know why that's in the Bible? Because brethren speak evil one of another. And so we're told not to do that. We need to learn how to stop speaking as a child and learn how to speak as a man. And so we do that by not speaking evil of each other. The verse goes on to say, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. And if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, I'll read several other passages as well. You can turn there if you turn quickly. I have them written down, so I'm going to read them fast. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says this. It says that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so we need to put away evil speaking. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow, but thereby even so have ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, come, I will ask you to do this. Come back to 1 Corinthians, hold your place in chapter 13, and come to chapter 3 for just a moment. About our speech, I'll mention this. Something Paul had to say that he could not say. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1. We made reference to this a moment ago. Paul said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So Paul was not able to speak certain spiritual truths to the believers at Corinth because they were carnal or babes in Christ. Now, I put this passage with the others for this reason. I thought about this yesterday, last night, early this morning, whenever it was. I was sitting in my motel room and I was reading over a bunch of stuff that I prepared and things. And I thought about something about that verse I'd never thought about before. And I'm slow, so I'm sure the rest of you have already caught up to that. I've preached through this before. I always criticize the Corinthians for being carnal. I always criticize them for being babes, not able to receive the meat. They're still on the milk. But I thought about something. What a blessing that Paul understood. These believers were at a level in their life where you couldn't force something down their neck they couldn't take. You know what that is? That is grace and charity and understanding that they're not yet able to take that. He's learning how to speak to believers. Ain't that a blessing? God help us to learn how to speak to the brethren. Now, this chapter, come back to chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now this chapter has already been said several times. I'm going to mention some things about it as well. This chapter on charity is placed between two chapters that have to do with some spiritual gifts, sign gifts, and in particular, tongues. In fact, in chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, the word tongue or tongues is used 20 times. 14 of those times is in chapter 14. Now, here's where it gets just a little bit tricky. And please don't fall out with me if you disagree. It's not a doctrinal issue, anything like that. Six times of those 14 times, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says unknown tongue. So 8 times it's talking about tongues or tongues, which we know from Acts chapter 2 is language. The unknown tongues, I personally think he's talking about the jibber-jabber junk that we hear to still today in our charismatic churches. I think that's something that was probably going on even in that day, speaking some kind of made-up bunch of garbage that's no language at all. And I say that because it says unknown languages. All languages are known to someone. They're not unknown to everyone. But this is an unknown language. It's not known to anyone. And so I think Paul, I'm not suggesting that Paul ever spoke in an unknown language or in jibber-jabber. But I think in the context of chapter 13, and he's speaking on charity, he said, when you grow up, when you stop being a child, you get rid of that speech. You'll be done with that. That stuff will be out of the way. You'll be finished with that mess. You won't have to worry about that anymore. And so in this chapter, in our text verse, in verse number 11, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. So what does it mean to speak as a child? Well, look at chapter 13. Look at verse number 1. He said, it's to speak without charity. He said, though I speak with the tongues of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So what is it like? What is it to speak as a child? It's to speak without charity. What is it to speak as a child? It's to speak without understanding. Look at chapter 14, verse number 1. The Bible says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in, and here's the word, unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Look, for no man understandeth him. So if you speak as a child, you are speaking without charity, and you're speaking without any understanding. And then there's one more, is to speak without edification. Look at verse number 4. Chapter 14, verse number 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And so Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I spake without charity. I spake without understanding. I spake without edification. And so put away childish speech, amen. Now, so we see, he said, I spake as a child. Then he said this, he said, I understood as a child. Now, in verse number 11, text verse. So obviously, in the context of this chapter, his speaking and understanding as a child would have been that he spake or understood without charity. That's what the whole chapter is about. And man, if you keep that in mind when you read that, it gives a lot of clarity to a lot of those things that seem to be pretty obscure. The whole context is charity. And so he I understood as a child. Now look at chapter 14, verse number 20. Chapter 14, verse number 20. He said, brethren, be not children in understanding. So he said, I understood as a child. In chapter 14, he said, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. Now we know that malice is an extreme ill will. He said, as far as malice is concerned, I want you to be children, or better yet, I want you to be a child or an infant. I don't want you to know much about that malice at all. It's the indication that he's making. I want you to have some understanding. And so may God help us to get our speech under control, to get our understanding under control. He said, but in understanding, be men. Now, the remainder, here's these chapters that go together. Do you well to read them together and study them together. In chapter 14, the remainder of that chapter, from verse 20 on, Paul is going to establish the purpose of the tongues and the proper use of the tongues, and he desires that they not be childish anymore, but they have proper understanding concerning that misunderstanding that they have with the language. You know why? They're a child. They can't take the strong meat. They're a child. Now, so here's the third thing. He said, I thought as a child. Now, this thinking as a child or reasoning as a child, maybe it'd be better, but easier to understand if we phrase it that way. This thinking of a child, this thought of a child, reasoning of a child, two things. How does a child reason? Usually from insufficient data. A child usually reasons without having the information that they need or the understanding that they need in order to have the right thought process. He said, so when I was a child, I thought as a child, or I reasoned as a child. I didn't have the opportunity or the information to make an adequate or proper decision or have the proper thought. I thought as a child. Now, second of all, how does the thought of a child or the reason of a child, children oftentimes think or respond on impulse? It's without thought. I thought as a child. In other words, I was childish in my behavior, childish in my actions. I didn't think it through. I acted without thinking. And so God help us to grow up, amen. So now come back to the verse and let's look at it again. Verse number 11. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But notice the last phrase. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now listen, when this happens, if this happens, and I pray it does in our church, I hope it does in your church. When this happens, you get not just an individual, but the church as a whole, every born again believer, I wish we could all get a hold of this. And our local churches, I wish every believer in our church, from the pastor down, could get a hold of this concept of biblical charity, this Christian charity. What a tremendous thing. If we could get that, if we get rid of speaking like a child, and we get rid of our understanding like a child, and we get rid of our thinking like a child, and we become a man and do the things that are pleasing to God. I'll tell you what'll happen. The church will have arrived. The fellowship with believers will have arrived. The unity in the body and the nearness of God and I believe every aspect of the worship will be multiplied tremendously, because every heart is in tune with God and in tune with each other, and we can sing and we can shout and we can rejoice and we can praise God and we can preach the Bible and we can rejoice over the things of God, because God's people have grown up. Amen. Help us to grow up. When everyone recognizes I am a part of the body, and I do not exist to promote my part. I exist to promote the whole body. When every member of the body sees itself not as the member, but as a member of the body. Amen. We want to be the member. God wants us to be a member of the body. My focus is on the body and not on me. And when my focus is on the body and not on you, when our focus is on the sum and not on the parts, we will suddenly find ourselves in the middle of something so wonderful and so amazing that we won't even be able to explain. I believe. Now look at verse number 12. 1 Peter 13, verse number 12. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. I'm not going to have a falling out or argument with you. So these passages are controversial, okay? I'm just telling you, you can get 25 believers together and they're all going to have a different idea on what some of these things are. But one thing we can agree on, charity is the context. and we better stick to the context. So here's my take. I believe that this glass through which we see darkly is one of two things. It's either, and I'll give you Bible verses for, it won't be my opinion, but I believe it's a reference to the written word of God. Now come to James. I'll show you this. Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, look at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So it could certainly be a reference to the written word of God. I believe it could also be a reference to the surface of heaven. We are now on the bottom of the side of heaven, and we are unable to see through the glass into heaven. And I'll give you verses for that as well. Come to Job chapter 37. Read Job 37, and then we'll go to Revelation and look at a couple of passages there as well. Job 37, verse 18, the Bible says, hast thou with him spread out the... Don't you love the questions the Lord asked Job? That's a whole different sermon, but yeah. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong? Look what it says. As a molten looking glass, or a melted looking glass. Spread out the sky as a molten looking glass. Now, if you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to read two verses from Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible talks about a sea of glass. It talks about it again in Revelation 15. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 6, it says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal, in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." In Revelation 15:2, it says, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over the image, and over the mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 12, where it talks about face to face, could be a reference to seeing Jesus at his coming, standing on that sea of glass. Now, you don't have to agree with me on that. I'll still love and Christian charity. Come back to chapter 13, verse number 12. It says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." That's why I think it's most likely a reference to the Word of God. When you and I look into God's Word, we are speaking face to face with God, for God is the Word. Amen. And so the believer, you and I that are born again, the Holy Ghost lives within us. We know that the Word of God is dictated by the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in that it was dictated by the Holy Ghost, penned down by holy men of old. The Bible tells us that in 2 Peter chapter 1. We know the Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, that the Holy Ghost is our teacher. And so we can understand the deep things of God according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10. We won't turn there and look at that either. And so the believer, the verse says, verse number 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." And so we have the complete Word of God. We no longer have to know in part. We can see face to face with God. We have the full revelation of what God wants us to have in the completed canon of Scripture. Now, I also believe that this verse is talking about the fullness of our salvation. I am only two-thirds saved. But one day I am going to be fully saved when I see him face to face. Right now, according to Romans chapter 8, my body has not yet been redeemed. But it's going to be redeemed one of these days. And I'm no longer going to be in part. I'm going to be in whole when I see him face to face, my Savior and my Redeemer. Amen. So right now, I've been redeemed. I've been free from the penalty of sin. I'm as saved right now as I'm ever going to be saved. Don't misunderstand me. But this old flesh has not yet been redeemed. But one of these days, it's going to be redeemed. And I'm not only going to be saved from the power of sin, which I am now. I'm one day going to be saved from the very presence of sin. And I'm going to see my Savior face to face. Now, our salvation will not know its completeness or its fullness until we see Jesus face to face. Now let's look at the verse one more time. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Now, a great many folks, they read this Bible verse and they ask this question, "Will I know my loved ones in heaven?" Well, I believe that there is scriptural proof that we will. One thing, we'll have the mind of Christ. We'll have the knowledge of Christ. I believe we'll know our loved ones. If you don't, that's okay. You can be wrong. I don't mind. I'm just kidding. That was just an offhand remark. That was not charity. I'm sorry. Now, someone asked, I do like this though. Someone asked G. Campbell Morgan, "Do you think we'll know our loved ones in heaven?" Dr. Morgan, in his truly British manner, answered, "I do not expect to be a bigger fool in heaven than I am here, and I know them here." Oh, that's a pretty good answer. Amen. Now, I got to get my last verse. I'm trying to be mindful of time. Look at verse 13. And now by faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Today we have these three, faith, hope, charity. Paul is saying that the best of these three is charity. Now, and the reason for that is, there's several reasons, I'm sure more than I'm even aware of, but because love is what makes faith work. The Bible says, and you say, well, where'd you get that from? From Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 6 says this, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. Now, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3, we'll reach verses there in a minute, verses 12 through 14, that above mercy, above kindness, above meekness, and as the brother mentioned earlier this afternoon, that all these things are one. It takes all of them to be charity. And so the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 that above all, and above all these, verse number 14, put above all these things, and it mentioned, well, let somebody read it. I ain't that big a hurry, are you? Colossians chapter 3, look what the Bible says in verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, the all-important command that Peter gave was love. Peter said, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. You know why you don't notice things in your children, grandchildren, that you notice in others? You know why? I don't have to tell you why. The Lord wants us to have that kind of charity towards everyone. Now, Paul, knowing that he spent the last chapter on the subject of spiritual gifts, and knowing that he's going to spend the next chapter dealing with spiritual gifts, wanted to establish this footing. If all you have is faith, hope, and charity, by all means, pick charity. Because that will make any use of any spiritual gift be used in such a way that it's pleasing to the Lord and be profitable for all. Now, I only have just a couple minutes left, and I want to use it like this. The greatest is charity. In 1 Corinthians 8, 1, end of that verse, it says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. In verse number 4, chapter 13, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, charity is not puffed up. Verse number 8 says, charity never faileth. I read just a moment ago in Colossians chapter 3, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5, which we'll preach on next time, Lord willing, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. 1 Peter chapter 4, I said that in case some of you other guys are planning on it. Yeah. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse how do you like how I got that in? So, above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Now, as New Testament Bible-believing Christians, I believe that our desire would be to strive to be charitable. And I really think that sincere Christians are striving to be charitable. And I this is not an excuse. This is not a cop-out. This is, I believe it's possible to be charitable. I don't think we will ever be satisfied with how charitable we are if we're sincerely right with God.
Amen.
I'll tell you why. The Bible says in 1 John, it says two times in 1 John that God is love. In John 3:16 it says, for God so loved. In other words, his love is immeasurable. He said that again in 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us. In Jeremiah 33 and verse, or 31 and verse number 3 said, I love thee with an everlasting love. Romans 5:8 talks about God commending his love toward us and while we were yet sinners. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4 says, but God, who is rich in his mercy and his great love, for with He loved us. He loved us. Now I want to read this entire chapter. I'm not going to change the Bible, but I'm going to show you who charity is. His name is Jesus. Read the chapter with me like this. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not Jesus, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not Jesus, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned and have not Jesus, it profiteth me nothing. Jesus suffereth long and is kind. Jesus envieth not. Jesus vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up, doth not behave himself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in evil, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Jesus never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now by faith, hope, Jesus. These three are the greatest of these.